Given her family background, Peg was thrilled to land a job as a well-paid dial painter. She earned $17.50 a week, good money for a poor Irish girl from a large family, and gave her mom most of it. The job meant she had to park her ambition to become a schoolteacher, but she was still young. There was plenty of time to teach later on in life. She was a very intelligent girl, so scholarly that at high school her favourite hobby had been trying to hide behind the dictionary, which she used to read in a delightful sunny nook. She had the smarts to make it as a schoolteacher, but she would dial paint for a time to help out at home. Anyway, she had a good time at work, painting with her friends. Peg started out, as did all the new girls, by painting the Big Ben alarm clocks that Westclocks produced. He was a rugged, handsome fellow of a clock, with a dial that measured about 10 centimetres across, giving him nice big numbers for the less experienced girls to paint. As they gained in skill, they were moved on to the Baby Bens, smaller clocks about half the size, and eventually to the pocket watches, the Pocket Ben and the Scotty, which were just over 3 centimetres wide. Peg held the dials in her hand as she carefully traced the numbers with the greenish-white paint, lipping and dipping her camel hair brush as she had been taught. The paper dial was mounted on a slim metal disc, cool to the touch. It had little ridges on it at the back, by which it would later be attached to the rest of the clock. Sitting alongside Peg in the studio was another new joiner, Marie Becker. She'd been working for the bakery downtown, but as one of her relatives observed, Radium Dahl was the place that paid more money than any place else. Marie's wages would double if she took up dial painting. Consequently, she was sold. Marie needed the income, her relative went on, so that's why she started to work there. Like Peg, Marie came from an underprivileged background. After her father had died of dropsy, her mother remarried, and when Marie was only 13, her stepfather set her to work. She'd done all sorts of jobs since then, the bakery, factory work, and being a sales girl at the dime store. Her stepfather's instruction was something Marie had taken in her stride, as she did all things in life. "Her attitude was wonderful," a close relative said. "I don't ever remember her being in a bad mood. You know how other people get grudges or they get a chip on their shoulder? Never. She was a ball of wax. She laughed a lot. She laughed loud. Her laugh would make you laugh." She was an instant hit in the dial painting studio. Marie was a real character, full of opinions and wisecracks. She was a skinny minnie with dimples who, despite her German heritage, had almost a Spanish look to her, with striking dark eyes and long brown hair, which she wore in a bun, sometimes with a spit curl on her forehead. She became good pals with Charlotte Nevins and declared Peg Looney to be her closest friend. At first, however, Marie wasn't sure about staying there. On her first day at work, she was taught to put the brush in her mouth, and she hated it. When she went home at lunchtime that day, she told her mother bluntly that she wouldn't return because she just didn't like that idea of putting the brush in her mouth. But it was a short-lived reluctance, for despite her dislike of the work, she was drawn back to the studio the following day. "She stayed because of the money," a relative remarked somberly. Those high wages were so hard to say no to. Not that Marie saw them. "The money went to her stepfather," her relative continued. "He was very strict, a very stern man. She had to give him the money." Marie hated it, and it was especially hard for her because most of the other girls at the studio could keep their money, and they spent it on the latest fashions at T. Lucy and Bros, where girls could buy corsets, gloves, laces, ribbons, fancy goods and notions. Marie dreamed of spending her wage packet on high heels, which she loved. One day, she'd had enough. She'd earned the money, not her stepfather, and she thought to herself that when she got paid that week, she would go straight to the shoe store and splurge her hard-earned cash on a pair of fabulous shoes, her first ever pair of high heels. And she did just that. She even told the clerk not to bother wrapping them because she was going to walk right out of the shop with the heels on. "That was Marie," exclaimed a relative fondly. She knew if she wore those shoes home, there was nothing her stepfather could do. And there wasn't.